Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I apologize for some technical issues with my headset here as we got started. No, it was not the host forgetting to push the mute button to get himself live again. I just had something flaky going on with my phone. Hopefully it's not an issue. I am Jason Powell. We'll be joined today by Zach Zimmerman of ProWrestling.net, and we are going to get you ready for all things WWE SummerSlam, of course, the big show coming up here just a couple of hours from now, not even a couple of hours. And it's already been a huge weekend with both the Ring of Honor show on Friday night and the loaded NXT show last night. Happy to talk about those shows. I have not seen the Evolve shows. Read some very good things about those shows, but if anyone wants to chat about that, you are certainly welcome to. Before I welcome Zach into the show, I want to give you a heads up on a couple of things quickly. First off, we will be back tomorrow and Tuesday, different time, just an hour later, 3 Central, 4 Eastern time. It'll be .NET staffer Will Pruitt and I taking your phone calls on Monday, and then Darren Gutterich is going to be calling from across the pond over in England on Tuesday. So again, ProWrestling.net Live on Monday and Tuesday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern time for those shows. And I'm going to tell you more details about it a little bit later in the show, but I want to give you an early heads up that you can head on over to ProWrestling.net right now and find out how you can listen to all of our exclusive audio content, enjoy ad-free membership to the website for 50 cents. 50 cents for 1 month of .NET membership. You can also save $7 off of the 6-month and annual membership rates as well. A great time to sign up. You can listen to the shows that I recorded both on Friday night and Saturday night coming out of the Ring of Honor and NXT shows. We will be taking your phone calls today if you would like to join us on the show, and we already have some people lined up. 773-897-6321 is the number to call, and I also have the chat room open. I think. I remembered that, and then my phone went haywire, so hopefully it didn't do some sort of a reboot. But with that said, let's welcome .NET staffer, I believe this is him right here, Zach Zimmerman into the show. Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself? How are you holding up after this crazy weekend?
It's been quite the weekend so far. You know what's disheartening, Zach, is that last night enjoyed, or Friday night enjoyed Ring of Honor, and last night certainly enjoyed the NXT show, and I'm like, all right, I'm pretty much halfway there because Jake Barnett will be covering SmackDown on Tuesday, so I just got to get through SummerSlam and Raw. And then I thought about it, SummerSlam itself is longer than Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor and NXT combined, Zach.
Yeah, only 9 more hours to go. You're almost there.
I'm half joking when I wrote today in my preview and predictions piece that this show may just continue until Raw starts. They may not stop. They may just keep adding matches to this lineup.
It's quite possible. I mean, what do they have? They have, 10 on the main card plus, 3 on the pre-show or something crazy like that, 13 matches. That's wild. Yeah, that plus a 3-hour with Overrun Raw tomorrow. You're looking at a solid, 7 hours of wrestling, 8 hours of wrestling?
And I know some people listening are going, oh, my God, I wish it was 8. They can't get enough. But I don't know, Zach. I think you need to put yourself in the position of the more casual viewer, and SummerSlam will, along with the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, I think brings in more of those viewers. Is this overkill?
I think in this day and age, it's just about creating content. So is it overkill for me? I mean, it's been overkill for, if you're asking me personally, it's been overkill for me for a long time. That's why kind of my fandom's not at the level that it once was. It's just too much to dedicate all my time to. But, like you noted, there's definitely the, certain hardcore, certain segment of fans out there who, are perfectly content, dedicating 8 hours to 7-8 hours to wrestling. So is it oversaturation? I mean, no, because I think part of it is that the network kind of makes a lot of it more less, you don't have to watch in the moment as much as you can kind of go back and watch it, on delay, or you can just kind of pick and choose the things that you hear about. So, but then again, is that a good thing for WWE? That's the question.
Hey, before we start taking calls, and we will hear just in a moment, though, you can line up and get in line right now at 773-897-6321. We'll be starting off with 305 here. Actually, we have two Wow, Blog Talk's weird. It's listing the same number twice. So 305, I guarantee you're first and second in line somehow. Congratulations on that. We'll be going to you momentarily. But, Zach, your thoughts on NXT. You normally cover the show for the site. You had some plans last night, so I jumped in and handled the live coverage of NXT. But I know I saw you tweeting about it a little bit earlier, at .NETZIM. You can find Zach online on Twitter, at .NETZIM. Give me your overall thoughts on the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2 special.
I thought it built really nicely from beginning to end. You know, there was some stuff that I was kind of down on the show, but the last three matches, being the tag match, the ladies match, and the main event, I thought delivered, you know, exactly or above what I expected, and I thought they all had, you know, big match feels to them. The crowd, the atmosphere really delivered, and as always, TakeOver's, you know, very, very fun show to watch, and I really think, I don't know at this point, can you go back to Wholesale for a TakeOver? I mean, just when you have an atmosphere like this, a crowd this size, it just, I mean, NXT, particularly on the TakeOver side of things, has really outgrown Wholesale.
I'm with you. I think they will still go there for the occasional TakeOver special, but I hope they start taking this on the road as often as possible. I mean, I'd like to see it permanently, but then do you run the risk of upsetting the Wholesale fans? Or, I mean, they did find that venue. Well, I guess they'll be down there for Mania weekend, and so it won't be Wholesale, but it'll be a venue in the area. What do you say we take some phone calls? I'm sure we'll be talking more about NXT as we move forward, and certainly WWE SummerSlam.
Yeah, let callers lead the way.
All right, let's start today with 305. If you can't hear me, I can't hear you. I guess I'll have to go to the other 305 and same number that is listed. Hopefully, you can hear me. 305. Who are you? Where are you calling from? And I guess that one is not working. We will try the other. 305, 305.
Hey, guys.
Can you hear me now?
DJ from Miami. Yeah.
Hey,
guys,
DJ.
From Miami.
Yeah, somehow you got the system all flaky. You were listed twice, but I'm happy we have you on the show. Good to hear from you again. What's going on today?
I got two quick things. My first thing is that going back into the Brock Lesnar thing, I feel like really, I think Randy Orton should win. Otherwise, do you guys really think somebody's going to come in? Do you think Joe will show up? Something special, or do you guys just think he's going to win and then Randy's just going to go on his way? Or do you think that this will be something good because of, you know, he won the fight? So, I don't know. I just think, like, really Randy should really win because I see really no way out of this because Brock wins and Randy, you know, needs to brush himself off. And then what's going to happen after that? It feels like he's just not going to be, you know, nobody special, you know what I mean? Like, if he comes in, let him come in for pop.
Zach, start us off with that. Your thoughts on who should win that match and who will win that match?
I mean, just the thing that I kind of first go to is, what's Brock's future as far as UFC? Is he going to stay committed to WWE and UFC? Part of me says if Brock's, you know, contractually and mentally checked out or on his way out, yeah, you put Orton over and you put, you know, at least some star over Brock. But again, is Orton really the guy that you want to beat Brock? At this point, I would say Brock should beat Orton because I want to save Brock for Joe. I really think Brock and Joe is the only real match that they have. I guess Brock and Nakamura could be pretty cool. But I just think as far as just like Brock and Joe is the best match I think they have for those two. And so I would say keep Brock going until Joe, if, you know, contractually he's around and you have him for that long.
Yeah, I'm not sure if UFC is so much a question right now just because he is staring at a potential 2-year suspension.
Oh, that is very true.
Yeah, and hey, John Jones is trying to get out of it, and maybe, you know, there's nothing saying that Lesnar's suspension is set in stone yet. So some question marks there. I mean, I think either way, Brock is committed to whatever dates he has for WWE. I know he's kind of got a negative. Right now he's kind of getting some negative publicity based on what Dean Ambrose said about his work at WrestleMania and just being lazy and not wanting to do anything. But, you know, it may have been the UFC fight. It may have been that Brock looked at this as a step down. He had his sights set on something bigger for WrestleMania, and he looked at facing Ambrose as a step down the card. He also may have looked at or heard Ambrose's ideas, and I don't know what his ideas were, but I could see Brock Lesnar saying, I'm not doing all that hardcore crap. You know, no thanks. And so, I mean, I'm not saying Dean doesn't have a case. I think the fact that he went on there and said that was pretty bold, and I wonder what it's been like if they've crossed paths so far for the first time since Dean made those statements on the Stone Cold podcast. But I think the thing to watch for today, as I mentioned in my predictions piece at ProWrestling.net, is Bray Wyatt, because he did cross paths with Randy Orton out of the blue on SmackDown. And I just wonder if they're going to do something where Bray Wyatt, the way I, if you're going to incorporate Bray, the way I would do it is Randy hits the RKO, and the big question, of course, is basically is one RKO enough to Randy claims it's all it takes is one. Well, we may not find out, because maybe he hits that RKO, Bray Wyatt shows up, distracts Orton somehow, so he never actually gets to pin Brock, or he doesn't pin him in time and Brock kicks out on kind of a late cover. And I don't want to see interference in this match. I don't think it's necessary, but I do think that is one scenario they could go with, because it did look like they're kind of foreshadowing something with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
And they have a pay-per-view on September 11th, too.
They do, exactly.
And they need to get to something next pretty quickly, and it's not going to be Orton and Brock related.
And DJ, I got to say, I know SmackDown is its own brand, and they need Randy Orton to be strong. They've established there's no shame in losing to Brock Lesnar. Randy Orton, after all this build for Brock Lesnar, he's just not the guy I give that to. They wanted to give it to Roman Reigns, kind of that equity they built up, and who's going to be the guy to really beat Brock Lesnar. And I don't, you know, maybe they still want to get there, but whether it's, you know, I don't know who that person is. I'm not saying it should be Reigns, because I think there's plenty of issues there. But DJ, I don't think you give that to Randy Orton. I just don't think he's – I think he is what he is, and I don't think that just makes him and elevates him to another level where everyone's super excited about Randy. But did you have more for us, DJ?
Yeah, I got one more thing. But let me add, hopefully – I would like to see Joe come out or something, like Randy gives an RKO or Brock gives him, you know – the slam, something, and then, like, I would, or, you know, Joe just comes out and stands there and looks at him or something. It'd be cool. But not just, you know what I mean? Hopefully something will go, because I'm, you know, twisted on this one. My second thing is, how many you really think title is going to change? Do you think they're really going to give it to Finn, or do you really think they're just going to keep on, like, the old school and just give it to Seth and just go on their way like they've been doing? Because the last 2 weeks, ever since the brand split, it's been blah. And
well,
that's it, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds very
good.
I appreciate
titles,
it.
The titles. All the titles. Like, what titles do you think are going to switch hands tonight?
Got you, DJ. I appreciate the call, and I'll try to sort this out with Zach. I do want, before we get into the title thing, Zach, I want to set up and something he said about Joe coming out. Is it too early? If you want to do Brock and Joe at WrestleMania, is it too early to start foreshadowing that, or is it a way to do it and then pull back on it? Just kind of plant the seed, basically.
I mean, you could do it with something as simple as, Joe is sitting at ringside and they promote him as, you know, the ex-NXT champion, most recent free agent, and he's just there to watch the main event. It's as simple as that, and that kind of plants the seed. And then, you know, you go to the point where you have Brock win, and all he has to do is make eye contact with Joe at ringside. Anything like that. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, they don't have to do Joe coming out and doing a stare down, but I think that they can plant a seed for sure.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I like that idea, actually, where it's not beating people over the head with it. It's just kind of whetting their appetite for it. And it'd be different if you were going to do it at SummerSlam, and I think you could get away with an angle and take the time to build up to it. I wouldn't do like a big angle for WrestleMania at SummerSlam, because I just think it's, you know, they did it with Rock and Cena, but and that was even the night after WrestleMania. I just wouldn't do it for this match, but I want to see have you heard any update on Joe's well-being? He took that, he was, I don't know if he was really selling the move that he took from Nakamura, or if he really suffered some damage there. But we did get a report from .NET reader Don Murphy in the building saying that several referees were checking on him, and one threw up the X symbol. So have you seen anything yet as far as an update on Samoa Joe?
No, when it comes to an NXT championship changing hands, my guard is always up on that. It seems like that's kind of their go-to thing now. When Joe beat Finn at the house show that I was at, the whole thing was that, you know, the referees weren't going to let Finn continued the match because they thought he had a knee injury, and then, you know, it was at the house show the next night. Hey, that was the night that he lost the title, and they blamed it on the knee injury. They were holding up the X, and then the next night he was not selling a thing about the knee. I think they did it also with, you know, Bayley when she lost to Asuka, or Nia Jax. It's just kind of the thing now. So I haven't heard or seen any updates. Granted, I just got around to actually watching the show this morning, so I haven't really been tuned in for updates, but my guard is always up.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it looked nasty, but with those two, it's going to. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, but as far as the title situation, I guess we'll start with the Universal Championship. Who do you think comes out on top here? You've got the Demon King version of Finn Balor facing Seth Rollins for the new Universal Championship, a title we haven't even seen yet. Yet it already feels more important than the one with all the lineage, the one that Dean Ambrose holds.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, I just think that if you're going to have the Demon out there, granted, God, they shot their wad on the Demon entrance on Raw the week before SummerSlam, which is ridiculous, and I'm going to go into rage if I talk about that. But I don't think you can put the Demon out there and have him lose in this first match. I think that would be a big mistake. To my knowledge, as far as since he came to NXT, the Demon, you know, in Demon paint, I don't think he's ever lost. You know, he lost the NXT Championship without the paint. You know, the times that he's tried and the times that he actually lost the title. So I think that would be a really huge mistake. But then again, I thought it would be a really huge mistake to, you know, debut that entrance on Raw. And I also kind of fear that, you know, Seth Rollins is a great main event guy. He's the next guy. He's the go-to guy, and I'm very okay with that. So I kind of fear that they might just kind of go back to him as like a, you know, just a, you know, security measure kind of thing to play, you know, they feel safe with him as champion. But I just think it's a way to get Finn off as a major star, have him win that title, his first, you know, his first pay-per-view. And he can even lose it quickly, but don't have the Demon lose that lose his first match.
I agree with you in that I do think that it's the Demon King. Yeah, he's going to win. But did he wear that for the cage match with Joe? Did he was the Demon present for that match, or was it Finn Balor? I don't recall.
I don't recall that. Actually, might have been. Yeah, where was that? Was that in London or was that in Dallas?
I don't recall it exactly. It was London. It was the most
recent
one.
Yeah, it was definitely
one,
the
believe.
Demon character. Okay, yes,
so
then he did lose in the paint. He has lost.
But
again, in his first time, I think that'd be a mistake.
Yeah, you know, that's NXT. This is the main roster now. And they, you know, they, as much as they love what they're doing in NXT, they know there's somewhat of a different audience for the main roster. It's hard to, you know, they know their numbers that they're doing for the live specials. And so, yeah, I think it would be foolish. When they first teased that they were going to have the Demon character appear on Raw, I was like you, I cringed. I'm like, oh no, this, you know, don't give this away. But then, Zach, I watched it, and I'm like, you know what? This got over big with that crowd. There were holy blank chants, and there was a "This is awesome" chant. And the fact, you know, maybe it's a lot of the people who are familiar with the Demon, but I don't know if you chant that, you know, the holy shit chant. I don't know if you get that if you've seen the Demon entrance, because quite frankly, you've seen it better at NXT. I just wonder if this really clicked with some people who aren't familiar with Finn Balor and the Demon and made them think, boy, I want to see this on SummerSlam. Your thoughts on just looking at it, you know, kind of from taking the devil's advocate approach to this?
I understand that, but then I also think that there's a danger in doing it too much. I mean, part of it is that it's very special. He doesn't even do it in every, you know, in NXT, it wasn't, I don't even think every takeover he was doing it, or maybe he was, but either way, it's not a thing that he needs to do too much, because then it's a thing that kind of, it's not really special. I think it's a less, more infrequency is just better for this gimmick. It's a thing that, I mean, man, they've been calling him Demon King so much, and they did the entrance on Raw. That's why I'm, like, nervous that they're just going to make this him, and, like, he's going to always come out like this for his matches, which would just be a huge mistake. It's a special thing. Or it can be a special thing. Hoping they keep it that way.
I agree with you. Will Pruitt and I talked a lot about that in .NET Weekly. We're very much on the same page. I mean, the soonest I would want to see the Demon character return is SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and that's only if they've really built up to kind of a blow-off match with somebody. I don't want to see them just to think, this is cool, we can market this to kids. Why wouldn't we have this on every show? They figured it out in NXT. I thought they did a pretty good job of finding a balance there. But it's a whole new world in that main roster when Vince McMahon is the one calling the shots.
I guess. I think they could have told more of a story. I mean, granted, they called him up, so the time between calling him up and SummerSlam was so short. But I just think they could have built it up, you know, have him not even debut the Demon character. Have him come out and lose to Seth Rollins here and then go on the chase and then debut the Demon character to win the title or something along those lines. I don't like them going to the demon so quickly, shooting their wads so quickly on Raw. I fear that they're going to just get ahead of themselves with this demon thing. But I don't know. It's a merchandise piece, so I guess I can't really blame them for getting on it as quickly as they are.
I don't want to spend too much time on that question, but I will say I did have this long, you know, scenario built up in my mind, fantasy booking this thing that Anderson and Gallows were going to win the tag titles from New Day, and then they were going to swerve the Bullet Club fans by actually aligning with Seth Rollins, and it would breathe some new life into Seth as a heel, and we would have a new club. And then I saw the way they had ball jokes for the New Day and Anderson and Gallows,
exactly.
And then the Demon showed up, and so I don't think that happens. But do you see other title changes today? I mean, I'm guessing there's probably one other title change. I don't think I called for any other title changes, but I remember as Will and I talked through it on Friday, feeling like, all right, I'm not predicting anything other than, you know, the new Universal Champion. Everything else stays the same, but deep down, I kind of feel like, yeah, there's going to be at least one other title change. I just don't know what it is. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can't predict the specific match, but there's matches that you can look at and say they can do a title change, and either there's a story with it or, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, if you have Apollo Crews win the Intercontinental title, you know, it doesn't really matter. That's fine. They can do that if they want to, just whatever, create a little bit of buzz with that crowd. I'm very with you on the tag titles. I think it's the time for Gallows and Anderson to win the titles, but I don't think it's time for the Ball Doctors, Gallows and Anderson, to win the tag title. I could see, you know, I know it's very quick, but I could see Charlotte getting the women's championship back if they're going to go to something with Bayley. Unless Sasha's just going to retain and keep it all the way to something with Bayley down the line. But if Charlotte retains and then they bring in Bayley, I'd be okay with that. But although SmackDown, I think SmackDown women's division needs Bayley maybe more than the Raw women's division. So, that'll be interesting to see what they do there, but it's a short reign, so maybe Sasha retains. Rusev, I don't want to see Roman Reigns in that title, but I feel like that's one that, you know, maybe Reigns wins that title. I don't see Ziggler winning the world title, so maybe the Intercontinental title and maybe the United States title, but other than that, I think there's probably going to be just retentions all the time. Yeah,
and the sad thing is, when it comes to the secondary titles, I don't care either way. You know, it's like, all right, if Miz retains or loses it, cool. And if Reigns wins, Rusev, whatever. You know, it's just I want them to do a better job with those title belts.
Well,
Rusev's
been awesome, though.
Oh, go ahead, Zach.
I'm just going to say, Rusev's been awesome, so I hope they don't take that title off of him. He's great.
Yeah, I mean, he's a blast. I still wish he was a money heel, just a monster. But, at the same time, he's very entertaining as the kind of comedic heel that he is. And he's certainly in a better place than he was a couple months ago even. So hopefully they continue on that upward trend with him. Hey, the number to call today, folks, 773-897-6321. If you're on hold, I believe you have to hit, Zach, you did it. Is it star one or just one? I can never remember. I think both will actually work.
Just one. Nice and simple.
Okay, yeah, just hit the number one, and then you will. That lets us know that you are wanting to get on the show. We're going to get to 954 and 414 here coming up, but right now it's, 801. Or I take that back. We're going to go to 631 was actually in line first. 801 will be coming to you in just a moment, but 631, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Kyle out of New York.
What's going on today?
I'm going good, guys. I know if you noticed in your coverage yesterday that you noticed Sasha and Becky stay during the next match after the tag team match. I just wanted to say, I thought it was awesome that they waved away security twice to stay for the rest of the show. It made me feel like a more special attraction by seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, they stuck around for the women's championship match, and even when I could see them at ringside, they were kind of in that slot where the Raw broadcast, or just any broadcast team normally is, until Raw kind of shook things up, and that's where they had Flair earlier. I don't know why they brought Flair out during the middle of the Austin Aries match. I'm like, really? You do this now to distract the crowd? But in that case, I could see where they were. And they were still there, and then it made sense, like, okay, well, they did the post-match thing with Bayley, so of course they're still going to be there. But you're saying they stuck around even longer.
They stayed away until the end of the main event.
That is
wow.
Cool. You know, the only – because that is kind of the norm. When you see someone – when they show a celebrity or just a Hall of Famer, anybody in the crowd, they're typically there long enough to appear on camera. I remember John Cena once popping up. Yeah. I remember John Cena popped up and was right next to our buddy Brian Fritz at BetweenTheRopes.com, and they're just there, and then they take them backstage once they get the shot of them. The only other one, Zach, that I remember people pointing out, like, no, these guys stuck around, it was Sean Waltman, and I don't remember if it was Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, but it was some combination of the Wolfpack guys actually stuck around as well. Not last night, but on a previous show.
I mean, that one doesn't surprise me. Sean Waltman, you know, kind of friend of the site and friend of fellow sites, he kind of makes it pretty public that he's, he keeps pretty close tabs on that kind of stuff. So I'm not surprised at that one.
Did you have more for us, Kyle?
Yeah, I was just wondering your guys' opinion. Like, I love the way the NXT show breaks down because it's like tonight's card's almost 5.5 hours long. I feel terrible for you, Jason. And it's like nothing feels that special because I feel like with the NXT show, it's like you see what you should care about and they have a story behind every match. And tonight I'm like, why are they showing this? Why is Sami Zayn saying he able to go against the Dudleys? I'm like, sometimes there's just no specialty. Do you think that kind of damages the flow of the show?
Yeah, well, I mean, just going as long as they do. I mean, we saw at WrestleMania, not that I think you could have opened the show with Hunter and Reigns, and I don't think the crowd would have gone gaga. Well, in the case of that show, they probably weren't in the building yet anyway because of all the issues they had at the AT&T Stadium. But it's too much. I worry that whatever they put on last, they could lose the crowd just as Hunter and Reigns did, where it was a case of the fans just kind of being like, okay, this is still going, get this over with, we're ready to go home. And you know, the fact that it involved Reigns probably didn't help matters, but still, it is too much. And as Zach, when I look at SummerSlam, and I've said this for a while now, it's missing that marquee match. They're trying to make it Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar, and I'm more excited about it now than I was when word got out about it. Even then, I was more excited than a lot of people. There was a lot of people groaning at that. But I think they've done a really good job with video packages and just some of the things they've done for that to make it feel important. But it doesn't feel like this mega match to me, this must-see SummerSlam spectacular or anything. I think that's the thing that SummerSlam is lacking.
Yeah, I mean, in their minds, they have it in Orton and Lesnar. But again, that's not really it. But they don't really hit level right now. So that's kind of all they've got. As far as, you know, the flow of the show, I think that, you know, matches like Sami Zayn and Neville versus the Dudleys, it's going to be fun in the pre-show. And I'm actually, you know, as far as the pre-show match is just thrown together, I think there's going to be some fun stuff in that one. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. But it's a match that's going to have probably a handful of high spots, and that kind of ends up draining the crowd, particularly when you're going into a, you know, four-plus hour show. So, yeah, by the time that you get to Lesnar and Orton, after you've already had, you know, the excitement in those undercard and pre-show matches, and you've gone through matches like Cena and AJ and Balor versus Rollins, you know, the ladies, Charlotte and Sasha, holding that crowd for the main event is going to be tough, even if you do have a big marquee match, but particularly when it's one that's Orton and Brock, and I kind of fear that that one might not get as great of a reaction with that live crowd as they kind of think it will.
Zach, what do you see going on last? Because Will, I was pretty certain it was going to be Lesnar and Orton, and I thought Will made a strong case in .NET Week for taking a different approach.
I mean, there's definitely strong cases to be made in taking other approach, but I think it's going to be Lesnar and Orton in the main event. I mean, they're calling it like the biggest match ever or something like that? I mean, how are you not in the main event with your biggest match ever?
Will's case was in favor of the Universal Championship just because you know it's going to be a great match. You know you're getting the Demon entrance and all that. I mean, some people have said, what about the women? Is this the time? And to that I say no. It doesn't feel like it's time yet, so don't go there. I want to see that happen, but I want to see it when it feels right, and this just isn't it, unfortunately. And certainly not Ziggler and Ambrose. No desire to see that close the show. So I think it's between those two matches. And I can go back and forth on that. But, yeah, I mean, you make a good point about the way they built this up. Plus, you don't have the issue of, well, why did the Raw match get to close the show instead of the SmackDown match? Not that WWE cares, but some fans do. This one, it sits guys from two different brands. It's an interpromotional, interbrand match, whatever you want to call it. And so at least there's that. Kyle, any more for us today, bud?
Oh, no, that's it. And I just want to say, I've been a .NET member for 3 years, and it was the best purchase I made in a long time.
Well, I appreciate, yeah, I really appreciate that. And what a setup, because we have reached the halfway point of the show, and this is when I want to tell people about the 50-cent special we have going on. It is the cheapest rate we've ever had for .NET monthly membership, 50 cents for 1 month of membership. We work like Netflix or WWE Network, so basically, hey, there's no hook. All you have to do is cancel by the end of your month and move on. That's it. If you choose, obviously, we're hoping to show you what we do on the member side of things and win over your trust, win your business, because I think we have a great product. We have a ton of member-exclusive audio content. Zach does the Cruiserweight Classic and NXT audio reviews. Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed get together for British Invasions, and they also discuss the Ring of Honor television show on a weekly basis. John Moore is filling in for me this week. His audio review of TNA Impact should be available tomorrow. Normally, that's available on Fridays, but I just had so much going on this weekend. I haven't even seen that show. It's the one thing I'm behind on in the world of pro wrestling, basically. And also WWE Raw audio reviews on Monday night, SmackDown on Tuesday nights as well. And, of course, all the major shows. I have an audio review available for the Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor show. Nearly 40 minutes, I think. Same thing with last night's NXT show. Jake Barnett and I will get together tonight after WWE SummerSlam, as we do for all the WWE events, all the WWE live specials, I should say, and we will have a full-on SummerSlam audio review. Some of our shows, they go anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes, just depending on how, in this case, it could be more, just considering it's going to be like a six-plus hour show. But those are the long-form audios that we do. It, obviously, some of you guys have heard what we do on the all-access side of things, and hopefully you enjoy that, and you're left wanting a little bit more. The members are listening to a bonus edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett that went up over the weekend, and it is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, so if you go to the website and you're like, oh, these ads, damn it, I get it. Hey, we got to pay the bill somehow, but you can eliminate those by signing up for .NET membership. Just 50 cents for 1 month. Act now. I mean, this is not something we do on a regular basis. The last sale we had was WrestleMania. We may do one more this year. We're not like Kohl's where we have a daily sale. Act like it's the biggest sale ever. I'm sincere in saying we do not do this often. If you want to commit long term, you can save yourself some money as well. Our membership rates, you can save $7 off of our 6 month or annual option. The price drops to an average of, it's $62 is what the price tag is if you take the annual. Actually, it's $59. What am I saying? $59 for the annual with the coupon code of SLAM16. SLAM16, just SLAM16, all one word. Don't spell out 16, just SLAM16. Put the number 1 and the number 6 there. You're good to go for any of these. The 6 month option, the usual price is $39, brings it down to $32. But again, 50 cents for 1 month of .NET membership. All the details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Just look for that sign up area, and when you're in there, you can enter that SLAM16. And you're gonna whatever option you choose, but 50 cents for 1 month of membership, folks. This is the lowest price we've ever offered. We would love to have you on board for live coverage of SummerSlam tonight, and then catch up on all the audio. And by the way, all of our audio library is there. Some sites choose to take theirs down, and that's cool. That's their deal. We keep all of ours up. So if you want to go back and listen to all of our audio content, it is there. It is available for you. We have an archive version of the site where a lot of our older content is available. But everything we've ever done is available for .NET members on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. All of that said, oh, by the way, you have any questions on any of this, you can shoot me an email, spell it out, .NETJason@gmail.com, .NETJason@gmail.com, or reach out to me on Twitter, @ProWrestlingNet. All right, back to the phone line, 773-897-6321 is the number to call. Don't forget, ProWrestling.net Live is back on Monday and Tuesday at 3 Central, 4 Eastern time. But up now is 801, who has been patiently waiting. 801, who are you, and where are you calling from once it, there, now it's done doing its thing. All right, you're live. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Derek from Utah.
Hey, Derek, good to hear from you again. What's going on?
Man, big SummerSlam Sunday. I'm excited. 6 hours.
Cool, man.
And then I even took the time to listen to you guys even more because I just can't get enough before it even happens.
Yeah, it's the weekend that won't end. My Lord, this is something. I mean, I don't know if Ring of Honor intends to make this the norm. Keep in mind, the weekend could have been longer. I was not going to do live coverage of the SummerSlam concert that was scheduled for Thursday that was canceled, but Yeah, I mean, they're just stretching this out, and Ring of Honor made it even longer by having their pay-per-view on Friday, kind of piggybacking off of things. And I don't know if that's something that they're going to start doing more of with, like, Survivor Series and the Rumble. But it's been a fun weekend. I guess that's been the thing for me, Derek, is that it could have been disastrous if, like, Ring of Honor was a letdown and NXT didn't live up to expectations. And I'm looking at 6-plus hours of SummerSlam going, oh, this better be a good show. It's been a fun weekend so far.
Amen to that. I enjoy the, you know, if you have two really big events that are, you know, paramount in importance, I like taking a whole day to focus on them. That's cool with me. It's like having two Super Bowls in a year. Can't go bad with that.
But, and the Vikings still really wouldn't make one of them, unfortunately.
If they had six, you'd still be out of luck, bud. But anyways, anyway, I think the SummerSlam card is awesome. And the thing I like most about it is the top matches are pick-ems, where I can see scenarios where either guy wins, and that unpredictability of a finish often draws me more into the match, and I think that's going to be very important on tonight's show. I just hope that they don't do the cope-out, dirty finishes. They keep the finishes clean. Wrestling fans will always complain because that's kind of what we and I do, but as long as it's a clean finish, I'm down with it, and I think there's a lot of potential on this card.
Yeah, Zach, we haven't talked much about Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor, and I don't even know if you've had a chance to see the show. But I bring it up because he's talking about clean finishes, and Ring of Honor showed that you can have the heel go over clean. I mean, Jay Lethal is just turning babyface, and he really has the fans with him. They didn't hesitate. They didn't have a big Bullet Club interference moment or anything like that. It was Adam Cole pinning Jay Lethal clean, the heel beating the most popular guy in the company right now, and Jay Lethal. I wish we would see more of that in pro wrestling.
Yeah, well, if you want to see more of that in wrestling, look to Japanese pro wrestling. That's where
right.
All the clean finishes are at. They're hogging them all. But as far as on this show, yeah, hopefully at least in the top matches, you know, you get pretty straight-up finishes, hopefully in all of them. But again, my guard is up. The SmackDown does have that pay-per-view on September 11th, which is, what, three weeks away, something like that. So my
first
guard
night
is
of the football season. Way to go, SmackDown.
Uh-oh. So there's going to be I feel like you're going to need some stories to go into that. So, you know, maybe I don't know, in the Intercontinental title match, or, you know, a couple other ones, they could do some kind of screwy finishes to extend things, but I'm with the caller, so let's go for clean finishes. But you also got a good handful of clean finishes on TakeOver last night.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and, I mean, that was – it's always nice. I mean, Bayley, I think she's being called up, so no surprise that she lost. I think most people would have predicted that. But they could have done something wonky. They didn't. You know, and NXT's been very good at that. And Ring of Honor, by and large, is. They've had some issues recently. Speaking of Bullet Club run-ins, they ended a pay-per-view match with Jay Lethal and Colt Cabana without a real finish because they wanted to establish the Bullet Club as heels. And here we are. The only heel now is Adam Cole. His partners in crime are all acting like babyfaces, including the Young Bucks, who just shaved the head of Jay Lethal. So as much as I enjoyed Friday's Ring of Honor show, if you haven't checked it out, I would recommend a replay. My favorite of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view so far, as far as this kind of live era of television pay-per-view, I really enjoyed it. But there's still just some really head-scratching decisions made when it comes to what they're doing with Bullet Club. I want them to be heels, and I want the Bucks to go for heat, but I don't blame the Bucks. I don't think they're instructed to. It's really strange. But anyway, Derek, I wanted to ask you. You said these finishes to you, you kind of see them as pick-ems. What makes the Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton match a pick-em for you?
Because I think Randy Orton gains more by beating Brock than Brock gains by beating Randy Orton. I think that's most important. And also, I think there's a good chance that Brock Lesnar, this could be the last match we see him until WrestleMania. And I think they could be cooling on Brock because the evidence suggests that he's looking for another UFC fight. As well as, you know, it's funny that people took exception to the fact that Dean Ambrose called him lazy or that he's phoning it in. But if you watch his performances since The Undertaker last year, all of his house show performances, he's phoned it in. And if phoning it in is lazy, which I consider it to be, that's an accurate statement.
It's been Suplex City, no doubt about that. I don't know how much heat there is on Ambrose. I think there's some level of respect there that he stayed true to himself and went out there and said that. I wonder, this is conspiracy theory, is this something he felt safe saying? Because he knows what the attitude within WWE is regarding Brock Lesnar right now, and so it wasn't like he was going to hear it from management for saying that necessarily, but that total conspiracy theory there. Now, you're right in saying that Randy Orton has more to gain from beating Brock Lesnar than Brock does from beating Randy Orton, but I think you got to look at the big picture. And again, when Brock Lesnar finally loses, I want it to be to someone who's really going to gain something from it. And I don't think Randy gains that much from it. Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said earlier, Randy is Randy, and I like what they've done with him as a babyface since he's returned by and large. But I just don't know that if he beats Brock Lesnar, it elevates him to just this. I don't know, Zach. Do you think, like, if Randy were to beat Brock tonight, would everyone be looking at Randy Orton as this megastar compared to, you know, does he gain that much from the victory that he's elevated to this supreme level in WWE that he's not already at? Zach, did I lose you?
Sorry, are you able to hear me?
Oh, yeah, there you are.
All right, sorry about that. Yeah, no, I think a loss would kind of be an ice bath for Lesnar, and I think a win for Orton, well, it would get him hot, you know, in the eyes of the WWE fans, or be a big win, a feather in his cap. I don't really think there's, you know, much room upwards for Randy Orton to go. I think actually Brock kind of said it best in one of his promos when he's like, you know, I went out and became a superstar, and you're just a star. And it's like, Randy's a great wrestler, and he's a great star in the WWE universe, to use their terminology. But in the world of WWE, he's a star. But in the big picture, I mean, nobody really knows Randy Orton. And so a win over Brock is not going to change that. Whereas, you know, if you have somebody like Shinsuke Nakamura who comes in on the main roster and just creates a huge buzz, even in a certain mainstream level, and then you have Nakamura and Lesnar, which, you know, they have history. Go back to New Japan when it was in its, you know, definitely not its glory days by any means, but they do have history that they can call upon. And, you know, if you want to, granted, Nakamura is kind of an older guy himself, but it's just an idea of somebody who, that's somebody with some mainstream potential that you would want to put over Lesnar. But I just don't think Orton's the guy.
I'm with you there. Now, I mean, could they be bitter with Brock about the whole USADA testing issue? I mean, I still wouldn't punish myself because I don't think Brock Lesnar cares if he goes over, has to, they tell him to put over Randy Orton. I don't know, he's going to give a damn. That's, you know, Brock's kind of a pay me kind of guy. It's not like he will go out there and lose every match or anything and not grumble about it, but I don't think they'd be punishing him as much as they would be punishing themselves if they took that away. If the, you know, the big build up to whether it's Joe, Nakamura, hell, even Sami Zayn. I mean, just someone they decide they want to give that big moment to. They really want to make a star. Thank you to Derek for calling. Let's go to 954. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Roy from Utah. Can you hear me?
I missed your name, but yes, I did. What was your name again? It sounds like you got a bad connection, my friend. Go ahead and go with your question. We'll see if we can make it out. I'm not hearing anything at this point. I tell you what, I will go to our next caller, but 954, if you want to give a call back, I will certainly bump you up to the top of the line. We're just not hearing anything from you right now, so I think we've got kind of a rough connection. But if you call back in, I will go to your call right after I go to 586. 586, who is this and where are you calling from?
The Rabbit.
Oh, my gosh, there you are. Rabbit, where were you? You're normally ready and waiting, and I have to, like, hold off to the number two slot for you because I'm deathly afraid of how you're going to start our show. But .NET member Rabbit is here. Welcome to the show, my friend. What's going on?
I got two things. One, I'm one of those wacky idiots that want to hear you babble on endlessly about non-wrestling topics.
Well, not today, bud. We do that on the Q&A audio show on Mondays, don't we?
Yeah. Well, it's just one small question. And that is that the gay softball World Series has been going to be in Minnesota next year. Are you going to be are you going to play? Are you going to coach? Are you going to be involved?
If there's enough zeros in the check, Rabbit, I'll be there. Otherwise, hell no, no. When it comes to softball, I'm the king of the world.
Okay, now I can talk about wrestling. I got that out of the way.
Let's get to it.
I was crying. I was in total tears last night when Bayley's match happened. when it ended, I was just flowing tears. It was the moments were great. But anyways,
what was it that you liked so much about it? Take me through it.
Yeah.
Was it the match itself, the crowd's reaction to it afterward?
Well, it was the whole match. It was the hugging. Izzy was hugging Bailey hugging the other women wrestlers. It was just a heartfelt moment. It was like you knew it was the end. She was done with NXT. It just made me cry.
Well, very cool. I'm not going to take any shots at you, Rabbit. I've got to admit, I've had to wipe a tear or two from my eye watching Bailey's matches over there. This one, not necessarily. I can't say I got a little misty last night. Didn't have to tell the girlfriend that I got something in my eye, so she didn't think less of me. But I have in the past, so I know exactly what you're saying, Rabbit. Zach, did you get a little misty-eyed this time?
You know, honestly, I'm kind of with you. This time, not so much. I mean, it was very heartfelt, and I enjoyed it thoroughly, but it kind of feels like she's ready to go, so it wasn't such like a hard goodbye, I guess. But I'm definitely with you, where there have been Bailey matches and segments that have brought a tear to my eye. So you're definitely not alone, Rabbit.
I mean, she just has that ability. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You see grown men that are jaded like me and don't cry much of anything. You get a little misty watching some of the things they've done with her. It's just such a great character. And I hope that we haven't missed out on the peak. I hope when she gets to the main roster, which could be tonight, could be Monday, hell, could be Tuesday. I would think they're going to put her on Raw, but I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Zach? Where she ends up and how soon?
I mean, depth-wise, SmackDown needs her. I mentioned that earlier, but, I mean, as far as exposure and star power and potential and the ladies that I want to see her have matches with, obviously Raw is where it's at right now with Sasha and Bailey. I'm sorry, Sasha and Charlotte. But, I mean, you also have, Becky and Natty on the SmackDown side of things. And I think other than that, it's kind of shallow. They need to establish Carmella and Alexa Bliss. And I think Bayley, you know, matches with Bayley could kind of go a long way for them. So I think strategically maybe put her on SmackDown. But, I mean, the matches that I want to see are on Raw right now.
I think SmackDown is going to end up with Nikki Bella just because your boyfriend John Cena is on that brand, and it could be as soon as tonight. I don't know, with Eva Marie being suspended for 30 days due to a wellness violation, along with Paige and Alberto Del Rio as well. But Eva was the one that was actually scheduled to work this show. Now the heel side is left in a handicap situation, and granted, it's Eva Marie, so they probably were going to be anyway, because my guess in this case was that Eva wasn't going to show up or was going to be there but be too rattled to wrestle because she was going to claim that she was held up at gunpoint. Take a page right out of the Ryan Lochte playbook for this, but
Do you think they can go the full 30-day suspension through every show with excuses as to why she's not shown up and, like, not miss a beat as far as this entrance gimmick goes?
I don't know if they will, if they'll even bring her up during the next 30 days, but I think they could if they wanted to take that approach and act like she's supposed to wrestle. And
I think it would be hilarious.
Yeah, I would get a kick out of it. I'm sure there'd be some backlash from people. Oh, you're capitalizing on someone who's suspended, whatever. I would get a kick out of it, I got to admit. Rabbit, do you have more for us today? Rabbit, are you there? Wow. You never know when he's coming. You never know when he's going. The legendary .NET member, Rabbit. He is. Hopefully we'll be hearing more from Rabbit on both Monday and Tuesday shows. Again, 3 Central, 4 Eastern start for the Monday and Tuesday editions of ProWrestling.net Live. Just in case you're joining us late, I am Jason Powell. He is Zach Zimmerman. And I'll throw out the numbers. I can't guarantee we're going to get to everybody. 773-897-6321. We had some technical issues with 954 earlier. I'm going to try going back to him right now. Hopefully the phone line is better. But if it's not, we might have time for more calls. 954, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Or better yet, can I hear you now?
That's
a little bit better. Who is this? Where are you calling from? And get to your question. Hopefully we can make it out.
My name's Roy from South Florida.
Cool, man. Just go ahead with the question.
Yeah, quick question. Actually, all I wanted to say is I've been listening to you for a couple of years now, and you sort of, and I'm saying this, you sort of ruined childhood of wrestling, because now I understand the business a lot better. And I just wanted to kind of bring up a couple of points that you sort of changed my perspective on wrestling. So you can hear me, right?
I've made out most of that, and it sounded very complimentary. And if you said what I think you did, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I think we're having issues with 954 again. But, Zach, it sounded very complimentary what I was able to make out. I think he's saying we changed his perspective on wrestling.
Yeah, hopefully for the better. That's a very good thing to hear. I'm sorry we couldn't make out the call a little bit better. I hope he had a good question or something. But
yeah, 954, try calling in from a landline or something on Monday or Tuesday if you're able to, or if that's not an option. If you had some questions, probably too late in the show now, but feel free to email any questions you had or anything like that, but I really do appreciate the kind words there. Let's try to go to, let's see here, who haven't we gone to? I think we already went to 631 earlier. Let's go. I'll go back to that just in case it's a different 631 in a moment, but just in case it is, let's go to 434. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Johnny Fairplay. Happy SummerSlam, guys.
Oh, my God. It's Johnny Fairplay, the one, the only. He's you may remember him from Survivor. You may remember him from TNA Impact Wrestling. You may remember him from, like, doing silly things on TMZ or getting in trouble for something. Johnny, what's going on?
I'm rocking my Dolph Ziggler stealing the show and your girlfriend T-shirt, so I'm ready, brother.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you and Ziggler kind of have a similar hair thing going, don't you?
No. My hair is closer to Nakamura right now than Dolph, but I don't know. We used to back in the day. So no, how awesome was last night? Was that I tweeted. I think that was one of the best tag matches I've seen since like 88 Crockett days. I've done, you know, Pat McNeil's show on the torch with Johnny Gargano probably 20 times. And you know, other than some PWG stuff, it's the first time I've actually, you know, seen, you know, him and Chamba's attack. I loved it. Like you mentioned in your report, you know, the American Alpha, the shoes have been filled, you know, on the NXT level, and I thought that match was better than the American Alpha revival matches.
It was different, Zach. I definitely want to get your take on this as our resident NXT expert. I really enjoyed the match a lot, and everything Johnny says, I am almost in total agreement with, but the one area where American Alpha beats the team of Ciampa and Gargano, just, you know, watching this particular match, is the big hot tag spot. When they built up to that for so long, the crowd was totally with Johnny Gargano, and there really wasn't much. You know, it just was. That was the one minor hiccup of the match, and not the. I mean, I'm just looking back on this thing, nitpicking. I thought it was an exceptional match, but I would say that's the one thing that Alpha really has going for him that Gargano and Ciampa can get better at.
I thought it was a killer match. Also, maybe also another thing is, like, you know, the culmination of the story with the title change for American Alpha made for just a better moment. But of course, I mean, this one ended in a cool moment too, with you know, them coming up short, but still kind of ending on good terms. Yeah, they've been great as a team. They told, I don't know if you've seen their Cruiserweight Classic match, but that was awesome. They've just put in some really strong work since showing up in NXT, and they're wrapping up their indie dates, I think. I don't know if it's the end of August or the end of, I think it's the end of August, maybe the end of September, that they're wrapping up indie dates. So it looks like they're coming in full-time, whether it's a tag team thing or Cruiserweight thing, either way. I've been impressed. I thought last night's match was killer.
Hey, before we go back to Johnny, Zach, were you at all worried watching that at the end where Gargano's limping, selling the knee, and Ciampa is walking with them? They held it long enough. And knowing that they did have their Cruiserweight Classic match, I was worried we were going to see Ciampa, like, turn on him. And I was so happy he didn't, because there's so much more they can do with these tag teams.
Oh, we're definitely going to get it, though. I mean, just some of the shots that they got at the end of their Cruiserweight Classic match, the shots that they got here, just kind of the looks that Ciampa was shooting him. I mean, there's no question at some point in time, Ciampa's got to go heel on Gargano, right? I mean, and another thing, let's not end this little talking segment here without mentioning the mechanics, Dash and Dawson, the Revival, whatever you want to call them. They're awesome.
Oh, they're awesome.
I mean, they
yeah.
were kind of underrated for a while. It's just like, you know, good hands or workhorses or whatever, but they're really ready. They're awesome.
Johnny, I know you saw those guys in person, and you were very impressed when you saw their house show match as well.
Yeah, no, I that was probably my favorite wrestling moment of this year is NXT and Concord, North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm front row. I'm rooting for the Revival. I mean, like, I'm just having flashbacks, you know, not only to Arn and Tully, but like Bruce Mitchell mentioned Gene and Ole. I mean, like, it's just that old school. And I'm sitting there and I'm rooting for like vocally and loudly rooting for the Revival. And I can learn, he had won the American Alpha guy in an arm bar, and I'm like, break his arm, and Dawson's like, break his arm, that's you, shut up. Like, oh my god, I'm cheering for you and you're still healing on me, I love you. I mean, like, it was really, really, I mean, like, it's just so, I mean, like, because, you know, you would think, well, you don't think, you know that, you know, like, if you get a heel and you know, a fan cheers for them, they're just like, yay, that's what, you know, it's just like, that's what I want. I'm like, no, that's not what you want. You're wrong. So, but they're so old school. They're just like, I don't want that. I'm not going to let you cheer. And I'm just like, wow, you're so awesome. So, I think they're great. I loved almost every match on the show last night. But I mean, but that one just really jumped. I mean, I was a huge fan of, you know, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, and all that growing up. So, I just had a flashback last night. I was just like, wow, there really can be that story told in 2016, and it was a fun feeling.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And Zach, Johnny, thank you very much for calling in. You are totally welcome to call in on Monday and Tuesday. We'd love to hear from you, even if I pick on you after the fact, which you know I will, because that's what I do. But, Zach, I mean, we could use so much more of the Revival style in pro wrestling, not just the tag team style, but heels who actually want heat, and they're not just out there trying to be cool heels and be cheered and get this is awesome chance. They're not looking for any of that. It's wonderful.
I was thinking about that earlier, and I almost tweeted it out that they're like some of the best heels. They might be the best heels in wrestling today. I mean, Samoa Joe is great, so I kind of have a hard time saying that the Revival are the best, but they're definitely up there. Just in terms of straight-up heels, I mean, you have Bobby Roode trying to be a heel, and the crowd's like singing his song and cheering everything he does. Like,
right.
And I'm okay with that to a certain level, but like, the Revival are just great heels. They don't want to be cheered, and they're not, for the most part. You know, you have people who kind of acknowledge, you know, people like Johnny Fairplay who are aware of how good they are as a team and are going to cheer them as a result, but they don't want to be the cool heels. They don't want anything like that, and I think, yeah, there should be more of that. They're great at it.
And Fairplay, he likes them so much, he hasn't even taken a moment to, like, angle to try to be their manager yet that I'm aware of. That says something, because Johnny's always got something up his sleeve. He's
actually, you know, they could use the flash. They could use a little Johnny Fairplay pizzazz.
You know, I was actually, you know, all kidding aside, I do think they need a manager for the main roster. I would love to see that. It doesn't have to be Paul Heyman. Find the right guy. Any mouthpiece types out there you can think of that you would like to see that would make sense with them? Not necessarily from a storyline standpoint, but just a good fit.
Oh, boy. You know who would be a really good fit, and I don't know if they want to do it, but bring Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson out of the – well, yeah, obviously he's keeping an agent or whatever they have him doing, but let him come out there and be a manager for them. I think that would be kind of a cool fit.
I'm going to say Johnny Fairplay, just so I don't have to get a phone call after the show with him being really angry at me. But that was a hell of a match. I really enjoyed that tag match. And just NXT overall, you mentioned Bobby Roode, Zach, and what could he do? I mean, the entrance is such that it's going to be cheered. It truly is glorious. It's the perfect word for that entrance that he had coming up on a raised platform and being lowered down. I mean, it was just phenomenal. And then he's in there with Andrade Almas, and Zach, the guy's not over. And I know you wanted me to ask Triple H about the mask, but I didn't, because I just think he's going to dig his heels in. You know, it's been one match. It's been a month or whatever. Let's see what happens here. And I really fear, Zach, he's not going to budge on this, and we're not going to see him in a mask. Tell us about how great he was in a mask, too.
Well, I'm going to double down and put in another request that before the Australia takeover, if there has not been, like, a significant change, I'm going to ask that you ask him at that point. And I'll continue asking you to ask him until it gets asked. But I really think, at that point,
you know why? Because enough time will have passed where I don't think if he's still kind of floundering, then I think it's fair. And if he wants to give the same damn question he would have, so be it. But I think it's more than fair by that point.
Yeah. I mean, his mask was cool. And, you know, it's one that they could have kind of done like a slight variation on, kind of, you know, made it a little bit fancier and WWE-ified it a little bit. And it would have been a merchandising awesome thing. He was, he was like one of the centerpiece baby faces for CMLL for the last, probably not quite 10 years, but, you know, 6-7 years, more or less. And he was a star. He was great. I mean, taking the mask off down there, yeah, it's a big deal and that's whatever, but it's not like they couldn't have put it back on him. He's a really good-looking guy, but there's just a disconnect. Even, like, I don't know, when I watch his high spots, I watch him, he's got some really cool stuff. Even just, like, his normal, like, a normal plancha, he'll throw in, like, a little twist at, like, the very last minute, which is, like, cool. Other people don't do that, at least not in WWE. But, like, then you see him, and he's, like, a super handsome dude with a pompadour, you know, flopping around, and it's, like, there's just a real disconnect. If this dude had a mask on, one, it's merchandising, and two, it just, the package looks better, he's missing something. There's a real disconnect, and it's very unfortunate because he's just the guy very, very quickly.
Hey, I want to jump back to 631. Is this Kyle again? I just wanted to make sure someone else didn't call in from the same number.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, cool. Yeah, once in a while we will get somebody calling in from the same area code, so I just wanted to double-check that. We're going to wrap it up here in just a moment, but, Zach, one thing I wanted to ask you about before we go is not SummerSlam-related. It's, once again, NXT-related. Are you at all disappointed that Shinsuke Nakamura won the NXT championship in the sense that it probably means we're not going to see him on the main roster anytime soon? I obviously want to get your thoughts on if you think this means we are going to see Samoa Joe called up. But I will say it doesn't – we've seen guys with the NXT title come up before, so it's not like an automatic thing. But I just kind of got the feeling that he's in NXT for a while, as great as he is, I mean, it's good for the NXT brand, but this guy's been around a long time now. They only have so many great years left with Nakamura, and it's not that they're completely wasting them in NXT, but it's frustrating feeling like this guy who's headlining the NXT shows could be headlining WrestleMania.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. Well, okay, that's actually funny that you would say that, because here's what I was just about to think is, like, I'm not going to get frustrated yet. I know he's an older guy, and the clock is ticking to an extent, but I'll be frustrated if something along this timeline doesn't come true where he can have, you know, historically, actually, maybe not, but at least as far as Sami Zayn goes, you know, he had a short run with the NXT title. I think when you have a babyface who comes and wins that title, I don't necessarily think they need to have a long run with that title. It's the same thing I said when, you know, if Finn Balor wins the title tonight, it doesn't necessarily need to be a long reign. I think that Nakamura, you know, he can have that title and be done with it or ready to be done with it by the time, you know, maybe Royal Rumble comes around. If, you know, he wants to debut in the Rumble, he could lose it at the, you know, the takeover for next year's WrestleMania or next year's Royal Rumble, either way, somewhere, you know, where he can kind of do both for just a little while, drop that title. And then who knows, if he wins the Royal Rumble and he's headlining WrestleMania, there you go. You got your situation that you just said is frustrating that he's not. So it's still possible. But yeah, if he's not like on the main roster by, you know, Royal Rumble, Road to WrestleMania next year, it's definitely going to be frustrating.
You made me feel better about it, so thank you. He is 36, he'll be 37 in February, so it's not like he's at the end of his road or anything like that. There's still, we see guys go into their 40s, but I just want to see WWE.
Finn Balor, Joe, all these guys are around that same age too, so they kind of get the ball rolling soon.
Well, maybe you mentioned Joe. Is this it? Is he coming up, or is it, no, we're in for more of Joe and Nakamura?
Boy, I'm trying to think. Who on the Australian side? They don't, I mean, God, they don't have, what could they do? I guess they could go right to, you know, if you want to go to maybe, I don't know if they're going to go to Aries or if they're going to go to Bobby Roode versus Nakamura for that title, one or the other. Or maybe they go back to a rematch. I don't know. I say just get Joe up on the main roster and just, he's overdue. Get him, you know, at least get him talked about. And maybe, you know, maybe do the thing where we talked about where you get him seated at ringside for the main event tonight. And then he goes back for just the program where he loses again to Nakamura, and then he's called up, you know, when they culminate that. I think they can do something along those lines, but get him up there sooner than later.
All right, everybody, that is Zach Zimmerman. Zach, thank you very much for joining the show today. You can check out his fine work Wednesday nights, especially with live coverage of the NXT television show, the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. He does audio reviews for both shows. He normally covers the TakeOver specials, but he had some plans last night. You won't find anybody more passionate about NXT, and he's been watching this thing from the nearly the beginning. I don't know if he was watching back in, well, I assume he was watching, but kind of like all of us were back when it was the television version, the reality show, whatever the hell it was that Vince McMahon called the next evolution of television that was so horrific. But since it's been meaningful, since it's been a real, became a developmental territory, Zach has been all over this, and he does phenomenal work. Follow him on Twitter, at .NetZim. Don't forget, everybody, we are back tomorrow on Monday and on Tuesday. So Monday and Tuesday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. Will Pruitt joining me on Monday. Darren Gutteridge joining me on Tuesday from across the pond over in England. We will be taking your calls again. So looking forward to talking SummerSlam with you guys tomorrow, and looking forward to talking about what's happening coming out of Raw on Monday, and looking ahead to SmackDown on that Tuesday edition. And you can join us for just 50 cents for 1 month of membership. You can hear Jake Barnett and I tonight discussing the WWE SummerSlam show as we do all the major WWE events, and also my audio review of last night's NXT show, going in depth on that event, as well as Friday's Ring of Honor show, SmackDown and Raw audio reviews, of course, coming up this week for the members as well. You heard me mention the Q&A audio show. The members submit their pro wrestling questions. I answer those, and they also submit some wacky non-wrestling questions. We have some fun with that after we get the wrestling stuff out of the way. So you get the serious business. You hear me talk about my Beer League softball team because, well, it's the most important thing in the world next to fantasy football. It's about that time of the year, folks. And also, then I have some fun at the very end answering their non-wrestling questions, just one of many shows that we have available exclusively to members on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you missed the coupon code, which is very simple, SLAM16, just SLAM16, literally enter the numbers 16, all one word. That is your coupon code. But if you missed anything, you want to learn a little bit more about it, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Near the top of the main listing of stories, you will see details on the 50 cents for 1 month of membership. What it is a $7 coupon, and it also works for the 6 month and annual. You will save $7 on that. We can't give you a full year for 50 cents a month, but we can certainly knock $7 off the price tag of 1 year of membership, as well as the 6 month membership options. You're saving some money on those as it is when you commit long term, and now you can save even more by taking advantage of our rare. Basically, it's our SummerSlam special. Jump on it while you can. It's not going to be around for long. 50 cents for 1 month of .NET membership. We would love to have you on board to check out all the things we do on the member side of things. There will be some members, I'm sure, corresponding in the forum. They are taking part in the V-Bookie betting options. This time I went with the real odds, and it's all in good fun. I'm not running an underground illegal gambling operation. I wish I was. I'd probably be very wealthy, but I am not. It still doesn't mean you can't have fun placing some mythical money bets using the real SummerSlam odds. They're not updated. They're just from a couple days ago. So if they've changed, don't get mad at me. But I think that covers everything. I did mention fantasy football season. I want to take a moment to thank my good friends over at MyFantasyLeague.com. They have a great online commissioner service. If you are looking for a commissioner service, maybe you've got a kind of a complicated league or something like that, where with the scoring it's a little more complex than some of the systems out there will handle. My guess is that MyFantasyLeague.com can handle it, because I used to work at Fanball.com. I was a senior editor was my nifty title, thanks to my buddy Bo Mitchell, who was my boss at the time. I got promoted into that slot, and before I got there, they created this thing called the Insanity League, which is still around today. My understanding is the basic idea was to create a league that would incorporate basically everything, you know, just to test the Fanball system. The Fanball system didn't hold up so well, I got to say. Back in the day, we had some issues with that. But my fantasy league now hosts that Insanity League that I still play in. And so the point is, if you're looking for a commissioner service with basic scoring or just as complicated as you can get, if they can't do it, I'd be very surprised if anybody could. It's MyFantasyLeague.com. A big thanks to them. But again, I'll be back tomorrow with Will Pruitt at 3 Central, 4 Eastern time. Until then, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to all of the callers, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy SummerSlam, and take care.